Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. And we are back live, and I'm so excited that today we get to have Rebecca Zanetti on. We have been friends since the very beginning of our book careers through RWA, and she's fabulous and funny, and you're going to love her. And if you haven't read her books yet, you're in for a treat, because she has a brand new one out this week that I'm sure we'll talk about. If you haven't met Rebecca, I will read her bio for you. She is the author of over 40 romantic suspense, dark paranormals, and contemporary romances. Her books have appeared multiple times on the New York Times, USA Today, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iBooks bestseller list. She lives in the wilds of the Pacific Northwest with her own alpha hero, two kids, a couple of dogs, a crazy cat, and a huge extended family. She believes strongly in luck, karma, and working her butt off. And she thinks one of the best things about being an author, unlike the lawyer she used to be, is that she can let the crazy out. And I did put a link to Rebecca's website on the Blog Talk page. So if you're listening live, you can click on there and see all the many 40 books that she has out and also get connected with her newsletter. So, Rebecca, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How about you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Oh, you're welcome. And today's release day, right? Happy release day.
Oh, thank you. Yes, today's release day for Demon's Mercy. So that's always, release day is always interesting. You're kind of stressed out, kind of relaxed, and you're not sure if you're coming or going. So that's typical release day.
Yes, very true. And I've noticed that when my first book came out, I was like, oh, I'll never feel sick to my stomach like this again. But every book that comes out on release day, I feel sick to my stomach, and I'm constantly looking to see if people are reviewing it on Amazon, if they like it, because by then all my confidence is shot. I don't know.
I actually kind of like hide that from... Well, I hide from Amazon now during release day. Actually, I try to kind of hide from the internet just because it's just so stressful and it's easier not to. But, yeah, I check. And then, of course, I got emails this morning that there was some sort of glitch with Amazon, so people can't leave reviews. So they're trying to leave reviews, and Amazon's saying, oh, I'm sorry, the book's not up for sale yet, even though they just bought the book.
No!
So, yeah, so we've been dealing with that today. So I'm hoping it's fixed soon. I think it will be. I mean, there were some early reviews somehow, so I think maybe that may have goofed things up, but my publisher is working on it, so I'm sure people will be able to leave reviews soon.
Good. Well, tell everybody why they should go buy that book this week. Do they have to read the whole series, or does this one stand alone? Can they jump in here?
You know, most of the books stand alone. What we did, this is actually Dark Protectors number 9. But after book 7, I wrote several other series, and then we returned to the Dark Protectors with book 8 called Vampire's Faith, and it's a whole new arc. So it's a great entry point for most, for new readers who haven't read the original 7 and don't want to. They won't be missing any backstory or anything if they start with either Vampire's Faith or Demon's Mercy. So it's a great jumping in point if you haven't read the books before,
And I noticed that Mercy is the name of the heroine, right?
Yeah. So in this series so far, in the new arc, the second word in the title is the heroine's name. So Vampire's Faith, the heroine's name was Faith. And this heroine's name is Mercy.
Cool.
And the next one's called, it's kind of fun. And the next one's called Alpha's Promise. And Promise is actually the name of the heroine. So I don't know. We've had a good time with it.
And that gives you, it gives you heroines with interesting names too. I like it.
It does. It really does. So it's just a little extra. And then the last sentence in the book somehow ties in the heroine's name, which has been kind of a challenge, but also kind of fun to do.
Oh, Oh, very cool. Now, the Dark Protectors, I thought it was all vampires. Is it just the spinoff that's got the different kinds of creatures?
No, in the Dark Protectors, there are vampires, demons, witches, shifters, and then the heroine in this one is fae. She's a fairy. But with all of
these
creatures, yeah, it's fun. And they all use science. It's not magic-based. It's science-based. Like, if a person could really teleport, how would they do it? And, you know, I use string theory and a little bit of physics, and then I make a bunch of stuff up. But it's more science-based than magic.
Okay, very cool. Do you have a background in science?
You know, I actually don't. I have a background in law. So I don't know. It just makes sense to me. Things have to logically connect. And just, you know, mm-hmm. when you have, like, witches and they're doing cool stuff, I mean, they can't just wiggle their noses and have something appear. I needed a way to actually explain, okay, this is a possibility of how it kind of could happen. You know, I stretched the bounds
right.
of physics, but that's my job. So.
Well, I've known you forever, and I had no idea that you used to be a lawyer. And I think it's so funny because there have probably been 10 writers on the show who used to be lawyers. So what does that tell you about law? what kind of law did you do?
I was a trial attorney. And really, you know what? I've thought about this, and I've been asked about it. And so many of my friends who are authors who are also lawyers, it's really the same skill set. I mean, you're trying to convince somebody of something using stories and analogies and the fewest words you can. So it really is kind of the same skill set. And being an author is so much more fun than being a lawyer because, you know, I didn't get a lot of fan mail as a lawyer.
What?
I know. Shocking.
I can't believe it.
I know. Who knew?
Right. You probably don't have, you know, street teams or reader groups either when you're a lawyer.
No, you really don't. You have a lot of scotch, but that's different.
And, you know, you can still have that as a writer, so you've got it covered.
That's right. It's all good.
So are there going to be more books in this series?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alpha's Promise is already up for pre-order. It comes out in June. And then Harrow's Haven is the fourth one in the new arc, and it comes out a year from now in January. So then there'll be more. But those are the four that we've named.
Oh, very cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Because I know that I write paranormal things, and I know the readers love a series, and I love that you're keeping your series going. That's very cool.
Well, it was because I really did end it, and then we did a spinoff, and my editor came to me, and she said, you know, these 7 books, they're still selling. You still have a lot of activity. Have you ever thought about returning to the series? And I had just personally started thinking about it, but I needed to find the right arc. You know, there had to be a reason to return to it. And when it
right.
hit me, then we were pretty excited. So it's been a lot of fun jumping back into that world. So, you know, we're just having a good time, and hopefully fans will like the book. So far, it seems so far so good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when you're not writing paranormals, though, you've kind of moved into thrillers, right? Is that your new thing, or romantic suspense?
Yes. So I have, I started writing romantic suspense probably in 2013. And so I have a couple series out, and I have a brand new series out with the first book called Hidden. And it's kind of like this, this ragtag group of ex-soldiers that the Homeland Security doesn't know what to do with. And so they have this crappy little basement office, and they solve big crimes, and there's romance and humor on the way. So I'm just having tons of fun with it.
And that one's still ongoing?
Yeah. The first book is called Hidden, and it's out there now. And then there's a novella called Taken that releases in April. And then the second full-length book is called Fallen, and it releases this coming September.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
So what's more fun for you? You write contemporary and thrillers and paranormal. What's your favorite?
You know, I actually don't really write contemporary. I had a brief contemporary category series, but really, I kept throwing in suspense. I just did. So I actually don't write contemporary. I go back and forth between the paranormal and the romantic suspense, and I kind of like that balance of going back and forth. My paranormals mm-hmm. have a little bit of suspense in them, to be honest. I don't think I could write a book without suspense. So, I don't know. It's nice to go back and forth. And what we've kind of learned just the last year or so is that those are two separate and different fan bases. Some people cross over. But yeah, I know. It's been really interesting. So some people do cross over. So that's another reason I don't think I'm going to turn and write contemporary because, you know, keeping up with the two fan bases keeps me plenty busy.
Right. Right. Well, and I've always written paranormal because I like the stakes. You know, I like that the whole world could be ruined if these two get together or, you know, or war or all the stuff. As a reader, that's what I enjoy. And as a writer, that's what I enjoy. But I've always thought if I had to write something with no paranormal, it would have to be suspense because lives are on the line, right? Do you feed on that tension, the giant stakes?
I think so. I think it's the tension and the plot twist, and it adds a sense of urgency to the romance, which I like.
Mhm. Yeah, that too. It's delicious.
Yeah, I agree. It's the fun stuff. So
I always ask people to tell the readers about your writer's journey, how you became a writer, because it sounds like you had like a good career going. How did you make that right turn at the fork in the road?
I started law and I was a trial attorney and I actually enjoyed it, but then we had two babies. And so I transitioned into teaching law, which was great with a young family and it worked well. And I actually was a stay-at-home mom for a little while, but then I started teaching at the college. And we got snowed in. I think it was like December and January. So January of 2009, we just got snowed in. It was this crazy winter. And I'd always wanted to write a book, so I wrote a book. And then I joined RWA
wow.
and studied how to write a book. Wrote a couple more. And then that third book that I wrote that year, it sold in December to Kensington. And it was to Faded, which was actually the first Dark Protector book. So then I was off and running.
Yeah, that is so cool. And it was all started by a snowstorm.
Well, it's when I finally had time to sit down and said, okay, I've always wanted to write a book. I've always wanted to be a writer, but you kind of have to actually write to be a writer. So I figured it was time to do that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's one of the keys. Yeah. Right. And it's so funny because as a writer, when you're at a party or you're somewhere meeting new people and they ask what you do and you say you're a writer, the first thing they tell you is, oh, I could write a book and you should write my book and all this kind of stuff. And I've learned over the years that the hard part is you have to actually write a book to be a writer.
Exactly.
Everybody thinks they'll write one.
They do. And then also people, for some reason, they think, oh, well, I'll just write romance because it's so easy. And I wanted to smack my head and go, I don't think you get it. Romances are actually harder to write because not only do you have the plot and the twists and the characters, you have to, you know, add the element of these people getting together and what's keeping them apart that's genuine and how to get them back together. I mean, I think it's harder to write a romance than anything else, but it seems like when you're just talking to
right.
people, they're like, oh no, I'll just do that. I'm like, okay, good luck with that.
Yes. Well, I teach a lot of writing craft classes at their San Diego Writers Inc. here in town, and it's so funny when I'm teaching a class that because people do have this concept that because you know that by the end there has to be a happy ending, that it must be super easy to write. And for me, you have two characters that have to go on a hero's journey. It's not just one. There's two characters who have to be different people by the end of the book. And that is really hard. You know,
yeah.
You have to be sure that throughout your book, both characters are growing and changing. And that's really difficult. You don't usually have to worry about, you know, two main characters instead of one. So, yeah, so romance, you know, people think because it has a happy ending for some reason it must be easy, but it's really not easy.
Yeah, and there has to be a reason these two people aren't together by chapter three. A legitimate reason. Not just because your book would end, but there has to be a reason in their character and their lives that, oh, no, this is going to be difficult, you know, because otherwise, what's the point? They should get together and move off the page.
Right. Well, that's why it would be so hard for me to write contemporary, because it's I'm always in awe of how they come up with the tension to keep them apart, because I'm like, well, get a new job, or why don't you call them, or, you know, and so contemporary for me would be really hard to write just to keep the story going and make it be believable and not, you know, eye rolling. You know, why doesn't he just tell her?
Oh, I agree. When I read something, and I like to read Jill Shalvis, when I read her books, I'm just like, how does she do it? Her books are so good and they're so full of tension. And I'm like, I don't know how she does it. I am in awe of her. So yeah, I totally agree. When I read a good contemporary, I am just amazed and I want to send them flowers. But Jill Shalvis consistently puts out amazing contemporary books, and I just love them. I can't wait till the next one. In fact, I think she has a release today too, actually. And so it should.
Yeah,
be on
I thought
my
I
Kindle
saw something on Twitter.
Talking.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! You can have a party with a Jill Shalvis book.
I love that idea. That is a good way to just kind of kick back and relax and enjoy the day. So I think I will. I think that's exactly
that's
what
right.
I'll do tonight.
Enjoy release day with Jill Shalvis.
That's right.
But I think it's a good point that writers, we still have to read. I'm always preaching about that, you know, if you're not reading, you're like a little lizard in a terrarium and you can't get any bigger because you only have your words. And if you read, then you can go, oh my God, that's genius. And then it expands your vocabulary, your word, your writer world. So do you agree? Do you always read?
Oh, I read constantly, and I completely agree. And I read everything. I mean, I read everything from, romance to middle grade to YA, some horror, not too much horror, but some. I do agree. I think we need to read and be entertained and enjoy it. And I'm not one of those people. You do talk to authors who are like, well, yeah, I write paranormal romance, so I don't read it. I'm not one of those people. I love reading paranormal romance. And so, I think we all have our own voices, and I'm not real worried about somebody else's voice getting stuck in my head. I just like to read a good paranormal book. And so I do that for enjoyment.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that was what I started. That was what, I started with was I started in horror, and then it was Vampire Chronicles from Anne Rice. And then I found Christine Feehan and Maggie Shane. And I'm like, oh, I can have monsters and they get to have a happy ending. I like it. And so that's what I enjoy reading. And I like Patricia Briggs and Kelly Armstrong. And so I always, those are what attracted me to write. So I don't reading that just because I'm also writing in that genre. Those are what I enjoy. And usually I finish the book and I'm in awe, and I love feeling like, books are magic. And it reminds me, when I'm writing mine, that I'm too close to it to see that it's magic.
I agree.
I was telling Rebecca, I'm finishing a book right now, so I'm in the I have no confidence section.
I always get that like right in the middle, and then when I do page proof.
Oh, when it's too late to fix it.
Yeah, when it's too late to fix it, but you still have to edit it one more time just in case there's a comma missing. I mean, that is just torture for me.
Right. So you usually go to a lot of reader conferences and things, right? Where can they see you this year? Because we're starting a new year this year. Are you going places?
I am. I kind of have a pretty decent travel schedule this year. And then in 2020, I may actually take a little time off of traveling. But in 2019, I'll be at Rare in Paris. I'll be at Book Lovers.
Wow.
I'm excited about that. Then I'll be at Book Lovers.
Yeah,
in,
that's cool.
New Orleans, yep. Probably RWA in New York, so New York in July is not my favorite. It's
a little hot, a little humid.
And then we have Readers on the River with J.R. Ward in September in Kentucky, which is a lot of fun. We had a ball last year. We went on a bourbon tour and probably do another one. And then it was awesome. And then the Emerald City Writers Conference in Seattle in October, I'm doing the master class. I'm giving the master class. And finally, in November, I'll be in Dallas for Fresh Fiction Readers and Readas. Yeah. So it's a good travel year. Not too much, but plenty. And all over the –
yeah.
Over, so I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So readers, connect with Rebecca. She's so fun. You will have a great time. I always name drop you when I'm talking to other writers about when we talk about good workshops and things, because you came to San Diego to my chapter and did a workshop on setting that like stuck with me and changed my life. And so I'm a rusher when I write. So, you know, things like setting, I'm like, oh, okay, fine. What's it look like? But you gave us a workshop on setting through our characters. You were like, pick three things that would matter to your character and why would they matter? And now I look at settings and I'm like, gosh, what would this mean to her? And it ends up being character development instead of just, you know, that the sky's blue and the water is sparkly. So anyway, you give an awesome workshop, girlfriend.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I do miss teaching at the college. I really enjoy teaching. So it's nice to be able to kind of incorporate that a little bit with workshops about writing, because I love writing. So it works out well. And I have a great time. I think when you're giving a workshop, if you're having a good time, that translates a lot. And then people, you know, kind of relax and enjoy it. So that's nice, because it was hard. It was hard to leave the college. It was difficult to give that up. But the books had taken off to the degree that I just couldn't do both, which I'm also very happy and grateful about. But, you know, I did miss teaching. So this has been real nice to be able to start teaching again a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you're very good at it. And anyway, That workshop stuck with me, so that's cool that you're doing the Emerald City Masterclass. That would be great.
Thanks. We'll have fun.
Yeah. So I always ask, we're going to be out of time before you know it, but I always ask, what do you like to watch, like, on Netflix? Now that we can binge watch shows, I'm always like, what should I be watching? What do you enjoy watching?
Okay, I just finished watching You. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. No.
You have? Did you like? You. It's You. It's You, and it is fascinating. The point of view is from the man's point of view, and he's a stalker. I mean, he really is. And so it's this it's this relationship with this woman, and he's the stalker, and you don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to give anything away, but it was absolutely fascinating to me. And I really binge watched it like crazy. I liked it. If you don't like stalker movies, don't watch it. But if you do like that kind of psychological cat and mouse, it was phenomenal. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Also, have you seen the Santa Clarita Diet?
No, but I want to. Is it great?
Oh, it's so good. Well, it has Drew Barrymore and Timothy Olyphant. So, A, awesome. But, yeah, and it's paranormal, and it's hilarious. It's not scary. There's nothing scary. But it's so funny. I mean, I literally laughed out loud, I don't know, starting right around episode 2 or 3, and then you're just hooked. You have to watch it. And season 3 should be coming soon, and I just cannot wait.
Oh, nice. I am just finishing up Lucifer, which I love. And Netflix bought it, so there will be another season. So I'm like, oh, thank God, because I only have like 2 episodes left. I'm like, really? So that one's great. And I just finished American Horror Story, but they only have Cult. So I haven't seen The Apocalypse yet, which I hear Joan Collins was on. I'm like, oh my God. So I do like American Horror Story too. Although some of them are so scary, I have to watch them with the daytime.
I haven't watched that, but it's definitely on the list to watch. So I'll have to put that in. And did you watch The Expanse when it was on Sci-Fi?
No.
No. No. Oh, that was really good. And Netflix just bought it to continue it. And then the other one I finished off was, did you watch 12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi?
Uh-uh.
Oh, so good. Go watch 12 Monkeys. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but if it is, watch it. It finished. The series finished. And the finale, it was probably one of the best I've ever seen in my whole life.
Wow. And that has the same guy who was on the Bitten show, right? Who was Clayton? I think so.
I don't know. I didn't watch the Bitten.
Oh, you have to watch Bitten. It was really good. A whole werewolf show. But Werewolfdom, it was based on Kelly Armstrong's Otherworld series. It was really good.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know if it's on Netflix though, but I know it's on Amazon Prime. But
okay,
but yeah, Bitten was really good. Oh my gosh. Okay,
cool.
So I'm very excited. So Santa Clarita Diet and You will be my next ones after Lucifer is done. And Grace and Frankie is back too, and I love that show too, so I'll have to watch that.
Oh, me too.
But it's so funny now that we can. Yeah, it's great. But I love that we can, like, binge-watch shows now, except that because I'm not watching regular TV and there's no commercials, I don't know what the next thing is to watch. So I'm always asking people so I know what I can watch next because, you know, you don't see any commercials for them. So, and there's so many that I never know, you know, what's cool.
I agree. And then you watch regular TV and there are commercials and it's so annoying. You're like, why is there a commercial interrupting my show?
Yeah, we do that too. And suddenly we're super offended. Why is there a
commercial?
Exactly. I mean, sometimes I'll watch Hulu and my Hulu has like 3 commercial breaks. I'm like, oh my God, 3? I can't.
It's too much.
Well, I'm super bummed that we're running out of time, but before we go, can you tell readers how they can connect with you? Where are you online? Do you have a reader group or anything?
I do. I'm on Facebook in my reader group. The street team's called Rebecca's Rebels. And they're tons of fun. They get a lot done. They goof off a lot. And there's no commitment to doing anything if you're there. We don't have, you know, we don't keep track of what, you know, you don't have to do anything but join us.
Yeah,
for
I don't
fun.
Do that either.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then also my website has a contact form that you could, if you want to contact me, fill it out and you'll get to me. I answer all my emails myself. So there you go.
Fun. And you have a newsletter they can subscribe to too?
Absolutely, and there's always free contact and good stuff, and maybe a recipe or 2. I may add one someday. We'll see.
Yay. Well, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have to do this again sometime. And it was so fun. And good luck with release day on your new book. I can't wait to read it.
Thank you. And good luck with finishing your book. I hope you hit your deadline.
Thanks for joining us on
Book
Lights. Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.